you know, after they finished punching trees and learn how to like craft stuff and actually started building something, what do you think it was?
Probably a Star Wars spaceship.
Oh, okay. I reckon like a small house. Like a little house, windows, maybe an open fire.
I'm just really juvenile. I thought it would probably be a penis.
Probably a penis. Yeah. No, you're right.
You know, I didn't want to say it, but since you put it out there, I agree with you on that one.
Welcome to the Geek Word of Mouth podcast. I'm John, and I'm joined by...
Will. Hi, nice to talk to you.
Hello.
Hello, my name is Hen.
Welcome, guys. Sorry, I haven't edited the last one yet, but I'm still working on that, so hopefully it'll be out by the time I get to work on this one, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
Yeah, I apologize for that. I think the majority of that falls on me, but I'll try to improve.
No, not at all. I don't think it's any one person's fault. If anything, last time it was pretty distracting because I had a little doodad in my hands and I kept playing with it, I've spent a lot of time actually just trying to quieten that clicking sound down. So, but anyway, I'll edit this out too. So,
okay. Sure.
So,
okay.
All right. So straight into games. What do you guys think of the list I put together? Anything leap out at you in terms of what you want to talk about?
Those are mostly games I'm not familiar with, although I am disappointed with the Fumito Uda leaving Sony, the Last Guardian game,
yes.
Or creator of that game. That's one of the things I was really disappointed in seeing.
What else was he responsible for? It's not a name I recognize.
Ico and Shadow of the Colossus, I think.
Oh, okay. Right, cool.
Or Eco, yeah. I guess it would be is pronounced.
Yeah, those are classic games. One of the first one came out for the Sony was Ico, and it's really hard to achieve what that game did because you actually cared for the character. And even though the character doesn't speak as much, somehow it's, you know, relayed through the game, and you actually want this kid to get out of the castle with his... newfound companion. So it's a well-done game. I don't know if you guys ever played it, but I really like that game.
No, yeah. Sadly, I missed that and Shadows of the Colossus by not owning a PlayStation.
Yeah, I played the Shadow of Colossus as well, and that was... It didn't have the endearing effect of Ico, but it has its own merits on the atmosphere and just the immersive world. And again, there's really no major narrative or, voice acting. It's just simply atmosphere that, you know, communicates to you. And somehow he does it very well. And I was hoping to see something, you know, of that, but with a new twist, you know, with the boy and the griffin there. But it's been delayed for so long now. I haven't seen any clips from it. It's kind of put in the back burner. Now.
Yeah, it's almost kind of turned into vaporware, hasn't it? Sort of disappearing from E3s and Tokyo Game.
I maintain that if Duke Nukem Forever can come out, then there is hope for any game at all.
That's a dubious hope, isn't it?
Seriously. I mean, that was a game I gave up on, you know, about 10 years before it was released.
That is true. It was like the living dead, it sort of coming back. But
well, the good
of a Frankenstein's is monster cobbled together from different pieces. Yeah.
Oh, that's a much better analogy. Actually, it was a sad state of affairs with that game, if you ask me. But it did come out. So anyway, back to Last Guardian. It's a shame you haven't played those two games, though, Will, because although I don't think the gameplay has held up that well, they are really great experiences. And Would you say they've done, I don't know if they've done a lot of innovative stuff in those two games, but there was, there's just something to them that it kind of sticks with you in terms of
sure.
you know, the environment and the story and everything. But,
yeah, I think they do release a package of both games together in one package, so you can play it, you know, on one DVD or what have you.
Yeah,
but so it's out there.
It's still PlayStation only, I think, right? The HD
yeah.
remake.
Yeah, that is correct.
So, but at least he's staying. He's sticking around to finish The Last Guardian. But
as an independent contractor.
Right. Makes you wonder though how that will affect the end product, if at all. So, or if that will make it take even longer to come out. So.
Well, I think I can only judge it from the things I've seen through his games, and it seems like he put a lot of care into them because of what it has, you know, achieved. So I think he has a lot of pride, I'd say, in wanting this as much as good as anything else and not just, you know, put it aside because he's not with the group anymore. I doubt that's his mentality. I'm just basing off of, you know, what he's done on the other game, so who knows? I'm curious myself on why he left Sony. I mean, was there like a... It wasn't really reported why he left. It just simply said he left. So that would be a nice thing to... Nice scoop to know about.
Absolutely. So moving on to Minecraft. Have you guys played that? Are you familiar with it?
I'm staying away from Minecraft quite deliberately. I think I'm the kind of person that loves that sort of open sandbox thing. I played with Lego a lot as a child. I really loved it. I think I could lose myself for whole days at a time in that. And, you know, it's not good news for sort of holding down a job, holding on to my girlfriend, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I have the same type of fear or hesitation with that game. If I even explore it, I'm afraid I might be so immersive that it'll take a lot of my time. And, you know, I guess I haven't felt the joy in that game enough to have it outweigh my fear of committing myself yet. So who knows? Maybe I'll see a good demo somewhere and then say, all right, let me give it a try. So, but until that time, I'm staying away from that as well. But if you know something about it, feel free to
yes, no, absolutely.
Say.
The reason I bring it up is I saw a little blurb about the company that put out Minecraft, Mojang. They're going to release a some sort of joint venture called Cobalt. That the art style sort of grabbed me. It's a sort of side-scrolling platformer, but PC Gamer sort of had a little piece about it. But yeah, Minecraft. I think just sort of riffing on that for a second. I think it's the reason it never grabbed me is because it wasn't finished, and people were saying, "No, it's great, but you do have to sort of troll forums or figure out a lot of stuff for yourself." But that, I guess that's part of its charm, and I can see that. But
sure.
To me, for some reason, I just really didn't relish that, because you know, when your time's limited, you don't really relish the idea of trying to figure something out for hours on end. But I don't know. I guess the game has encouraged an open spirit of, you know, experimentation, and in a way that's made it a huge success, like a complete.
Well, there's tons of mods out there already to just, you know, change what the game looks like, and I was just amazed because it's not officially released yet and still in the beta, and yet there's tons of mods already for people who wants to mess around with that game. So it's I guess it's taken underground popularity.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. And I mean, one of the reasons that perhaps I never felt that I needed to buy and play it is because actually there's a huge amount out there in the form of YouTube videos. You know, you can live vicariously through these people who have built these incredible structures, and you know, these I remember seeing just like a random mix of things, but like, you know, a cannon designed to shoot pigs through the air. That was quite entertaining. There was a recreation of the Enterprise D to scale, which was insane.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. They basically just dug all the way through the level, all the way down to the bottom, and then started building it. It's out there if you look for it. It's really worth seeing. But, you know, you can't see the whole thing at once because it disappears. The draw distance isn't large enough.
But it is impressive in a sad way. I mean,
no offense to people who,
you know, like to spend all their time, but...
See, that justifies our fear right there, right, Mo?
Yeah, absolutely.
You think you'd be building the Enterprise D or E or one of the other ones? I don't know.
I'd be building something if I was, you know, involved.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for myself, I still... The main reason I come to games is for story, and, you know, I do enjoy the idea of an open world, but there's obviously no... There's only the only story in Minecraft is what you make, so which I can see the appeal of, but for me it's not personally what excites me.
Sure.
Hey, there's a question though. You know, let's just say all three of us are really into Minecraft and got sucked into there. What would you build? What would you believe your geekiness would end up building with that game, if any?
Castles, I think. I would do castles with turrets, ramparts, all that kind of stuff. I think it would lend itself really well to that.
I was just thinking, what do you think is the first thing that someone made? Like the actual first...
A hole in the ground, probably.
Oh, after that, like they actually, you know, after they finished punching trees and learned how to, like, craft stuff and actually started building something, what do you think it was?
Probably a Star Wars spaceship.
Oh, okay. I reckon like a small house. Like a little house, windows, maybe an open fire.
I'm just really juvenile. I thought it would probably be a penis.
Probably a penis. Yeah. No, you're
right. You know, I didn't want to say it, but since you put it out there, I agree with you on that one.
Almost certainly.
There's probably a YouTube video of it.
But, you know, if I was to get geeky on that, and I would start building... I don't know if you guys are familiar with the movie Spaceballs?
Yep.
Yep.
I would build a ginormous vacuum maid that went from suck
Mega
to blow.
Mega maid.
Right.
Gone from suck to blow.
That's one of the things I would attempt to build, unfortunately.
A transforming Mega Maid. Now, that would be something that would be worthy
of
YouTube.
If you get it
to
transform,
video.
That would be incredible, yeah.
Who knows?
Okay, so, sorry, moving on. So, neither of you guys watch any of the Video Game Awards coverage? Any interest? Any?
I was reading on IGN on the Game of the Year, but I didn't get a chance to finish for the whole year, so... if you, what happened, basically?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mostly just looked at, because normally this is something I would eat up, but I actually this time just sort of skimmed and saw what the announcements were for sort of going into next year and further. One of them was Naughty Dog. I can't say that. Naughty Dog. Dog. Is doing a game called The Last of Us. And it looked a lot like I Am Alive, the Jade Raymond project that kind of morphed into a downloadable game that was not coming out on PC and maybe is at some point. But anyway, it's sort of another post-apocalyptic type of thing. I thought it was might be zombies, but they actually look like mutant creatures or something. If you get a chance, actually check out the teaser sort of trailer. It's actually pretty interesting. It looks like in-game footage, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's basically this. Well, I'll let you check it out. But it's sort of like these people surviving in a post-apocalyptic world where like jungles have overgrown, kind of like I'm Legend. You know, jungles have overgrown the city streets, and they're rushing around. Running away from mutants. So it looks interesting. I'm not sure that's a big announcement.
Is the gameplay like Uncharted or...?
No, I don't think so. I think that a lot of people have been comparing it to Dead Island. So, you know, where it it's a first person. I don't know if it's first person. They haven't really shown actual someone playing it. But it looked like it was in-engine footage, what I saw. So
that's probably a good sign, then. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's something that they can show that's within the game. There's enough that, you know, you can do that.
Absolutely, yeah. But I'm not sure when the release date is or anything. It was just sort of a teaser trailer.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of teasers, I think people are guessing that Valve is teasing the next Half-Life.
Which, now, you see, I watched that video, and I think that is what TV trailers refer to as epileptic trees. Yeah. People just kind of grasping at anything they can find.
Yeah.
Like, Lanthanum, that's like, it's spelt with a lambda, like in Half-Life. Well, yeah. Okay, I mean, alright, that's true, I guess.
It doesn't really tell us anything that we don't already know. I mean, we know that there's probably another Half-Life coming. It's there.
You would hope so, really. I mean, that enormous cliffhanger at the end of episode 2 really pushing you, I think, right towards the third episode, which is slipping badly, I think.
Yeah,
there's no question they're working on number 3, so whether that's part of the teaser or not, I don't know, but number 3 is going to happen sooner or later.
So. It was nice to see Wheatley again, at least.
Yeah. Out in space.
Out in space.
With the space.
Asking module. For a rocket.
Yeah. Okay.
It's so unfortunate that I can't enjoy the Half-Life series as I should, because I have
motion sickness.
Yes, it's something with their engine, because every other game I played is fine, even with the first person perspective. I didn't have any problems with, but every time I turn on a Valve game, with the exception of Counter-Strike, of course, I get really motion sickness, so I couldn't handle it. So it's unfortunate.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I have a bit of motion sickness as well sometimes, but it tends to be in closed environments. I remember I never really played Doom, whereas actually Half-Life, or Half-Life 2 at least, is fairly open, relatively speaking.
Well, in the beginning, it wasn't.
Right, yeah, I guess.
From my experience, so that's what threw me off. I couldn't do it anymore, so that's why I just dropped it. But I heard good things, and I know there is good things there, but I just can't play it, unfortunately.
Yeah,
that's a real shame.
Yeah. I get it, too, and I can't really put my finger on what causes it sometimes. Because I've had it with a couple of console games recently and ones that I was doing for a review. And boy, that's difficult, trying to get through a game when you're actually physically being made ill
right.
playing it. Not because it's a crap game, just because, you know, I don't know. Some people have told me that it's something to do with lights, you know, in the room and obviously the refresh rate of, you know, the game and whatnot. But I don't know. I've not been able to really pin down what causes it, but yeah, certainly it seems to be first person shooters more than third person games for whatever reason. So
yeah, who knows? I'll revisit it again someday and just see how my stamina pits up against it nowadays.
Well, I guess if a third game comes out, you'll have a good reason, because that I imagine will be sort of the end of things for the moment, at least.
Well, I hope they at least. I assume they'll change the engine already, but find out what it is if they invest time in it to.
I think it's just an upgraded version of the Source engine again. Hmm. Source 2012 or whatever it is they're calling it.
Oh, I haven't heard anything about that. I imagine it will be a new looking engine. So I would hope, because the Source engine is looking quite dated already. So I mean, it has been, what, 10 years now, I think. Already.
Yeah, it was 2004, I think, about.
Okay, so 7 years.
Nearly 8, yeah.
But
probably by the time it comes out.
Yeah, I just want to mention Star Command quickly. It's another word I can't say. It's coming out for iOS, which I don't know if that interests either of you, but I imagine it will come to other platforms as well. But it's essentially like Game Dev Story, which you guys maybe don't know about. Have you heard of Game Dev Story?
I'm afraid I haven't heard it.
It's another sort of mobile platform game where you are running a game development studio, and it's got sort of cute pixely graph, you know, 2D graphics, but you hire programmers and artists and, you know, music talent and that kind of stuff, and you just basically have to run like it's a sim studio, so it's a sim game for a game development studio. And it's got a lot of in-jokes, you know, references the game industry with, you know, funny alternate names of the big companies that we know, like Nintendo. I can't remember what they call them. Like, there's some alternate names for all of them. So, for Sony, Nintendo, and, like, they actually even reference certain consoles that came out. So it's a little bit clever in that way. It's kind of cute, self-referential stuff. But beyond that, it's actually a pretty fun sim game on a mobile platform. A lot of people are comparing Star Command to that, except it's a much more in-depth, again, sort of 2D pixel-based, but it looks a bit like XCOM, but you're essentially a Star Trek crew on a ship. And so you sort of promote crew and train them and take them on away missions and research things and upgrade people and that kind of stuff. And it looks really good. But it had a Kickstarter page. I think they were looking for like 20,000 funding, and they reached it, you know, they went up to 36 or something.
Okay.
So, and that's coming out at some point, I think next year. So, but it looks really good.
Well, yeah, it sounds interesting. I mean, a sim game where, you know, sometimes, you know, the concept itself is, you know, the draw and not necessarily, you know, the graphics and whatnot. But, you know, it sounds interesting. I'll definitely look into that.
Yeah, so I think it's worth keeping on the radar.
I enjoyed XCOM and things way back when. So, yeah, be worth looking out for.
Yeah. Well, moving on to movies, anything you guys are looking forward to next year? Do you care about movies anymore?
Of course. I love movies. The Hobbit.
Yeah.
That's I'm a huge fan of Lord of the Rings, and that's one of the things I'm, you know, keeping my eye open for any goodies that gets leaked. So I hope, you know, it gets done on time and not get pushed back.
Sure.
Yeah, Peter Jackson has had quite a lot of presence on Facebook in terms of behind the scenes and showing how the film's coming along and everything, which is, I found they didn't really do that for Lord of the Rings as far as I remember.
No, it was mostly sort of on DVD extras afterwards, wasn't it?
Right. Which obviously will be, the Hobbit DVDs or discs will be packed with stuff, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I expect. You know, you'll have sort of one disc for the movie.
20 hours.
And five or six.
I'm kind of wary, though, on what I hear is that they want to tie in the Hobbit to Lord of the Rings, you know, with, you know, certain...
That's right. Elijah Wood actually did some filming of a flash forward or something, right?
Yeah. It's appreciative that he wants to do that. But at the same time, I don't know if it's wise either, because it'll affect the atmosphere of what The Hobbit was. The Hobbit was a completely different book compared to the trilogy. So I don't know if you can – if you tie those two other – the two series together, you might lose something from The Hobbit itself. So that's what I'm afraid of.
The development has like completely had a checkered history, hasn't it? Like Del Toro sort of coming in and dropping out. And,
yeah, there's. I imagine it's. It might be other reasons, but I know there was a huge problem with the copyright of The Hobbit itself. It was owned by, I think, the grandson of Tolkien. I could be wrong, and he's a little bit a stickler when it comes to making it into a movie. And he was disgruntled to begin with the trilogy itself being made into movies. But maybe he changed his mind, or maybe someone has maneuvered to overcome that. But I assume that's part of the reason.
And I think there was also something to do with how, was it, I want to say Miramax, but there was like two different publishers or production companies that were involved, and it was something to do with Peter Jackson as well. I should probably look this stuff up before mentioning it, but I vaguely recall there was some issue with just even the proceeds from Lord of the Rings getting to the right hands, and you know, things being tied up that way as well. But and it had to do with Peter Jackson, because obviously that's why, you know, he'd obviously wanted committed to other projects and didn't want to get stuck in another X number of years doing Tolkien material.
Yep,
sure.
But I'm glad he's involved with it, because he did an awesome job. Like he and what's her name, Pippa Boyens.
I think that's right.
They did a great job adapting the books. I mean, it's not perfect, but it's pretty close to a lot better than I would have expected out of, you know, run-of-the-mill Hollywood, you know, adaptation. So,
all right.
What do you guys think of Prometheus, the Ridley Scott pseudo prequel to Alien?
Is it officially a prequel? Because
no,
from the article,
so.
Yeah. Yeah, from the article, they didn't allude to that, but they mentioned the ship design is the same as the one that's in Alien, so who knows. But yeah, I am very interested in that one, because you know,
when you say sorry to interrupt you, the ship design, do you mean of the human, you know, the Nostromo, or that alien ship they find?
I think the
alien sort
ship.
Of Geiger-esque one.
Yeah, I think the alien ship,
right? Okay,
the sort of U-shaped crashed ship with
yeah.
the space jockey guy in there or whatever.
Yeah, maybe because they didn't want to give it away, but you know, the description is they encountered something nightmarish out of in outer space. So it's, if it's, you know, a prequel, then it's obvious that, you know, what they're gonna meet nightmarish wise, unless they come up with something totally different. But I can't picture anything, you know. Because they mentioned aliens, you can't help but allude that to the original, even though it might not be the case in the article.
I think you're right. I mean, you know, it's obvious for the media, you're kind of saying, well, Ridley Scott's making a film set in space with aliens. It probably might be like that other film he made that was like that was extremely
right.
successful with all the sequels, you know.
Exactly.
So it's bound to draw comparisons, whether it has any connection to Alien or not.
You know what would make it right away from a very potential good movie to a very B movie is the word Predator introduced somewhere in there.
I see. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Woody Allen.
Yeah, I was expecting Woody Allen.
Hey, you know what? Don't knock Woody Allen. It could be a very hilarious alien comedy. I mean...
He's the real terror of space.
It could be, you know, well, you what know. Spaceballs was to Star Wars, but...
Sorry, I was going to try to summon up my Woody Allen impression, but I'm just not even going to go there.
No, I think we're all right.
What about John Carter? What do you guys think of the adaptation of the Edgar Rice Burroughs?
I'm surprised there hasn't been sort of a reasonably big budget version of this done before now. Maybe, you know, in the 60s or the 70s or something, but
yeah, actually, well, there's a lot of things that have been taken inspiration, haven't they? But
sure,
nothing, no direct Barsoom film as such.
I might be missing out here, but who are we talking?
John
about?
Carter of Mars. It's a Disney adaptation of. Edgar Rice Burroughs was a writer, and he did some comics as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, you probably know more about it than I do, but around, what, the 30s or 40s or something? And it was...
It's, yeah, that sort of era of science fiction, ray guns and moon men and that kind of stuff.
Right.
What's his, what's one of the series that he did?
Well, besides the Barsoom, the John Carter of Mars... I think he also did some Tarzan, didn't he? Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Oh, I see. And Frankenstein, or the artwork.
Yes, Tarzan.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I understand now. I think Eric got one of the comic guy that me and John knows. It's a huge fan of his as well.
But so John Carter was very much sort of Space 1889 kind of thing, where you've got a... I think in the original he was a Civil War hero, I'm not sure. But he gets transported to Mars, and it is very much the scientific ideas of Mars are very much rooted in that era. So
right.
It would be interesting to see if they've updated it all, I think, because it's a little bit dated in terms of the scientific knowledge of the day.
Wasn't there a game based on that where you went to Mars and... Yes. I know the whole theory on it was like universal theory was ether at the time, and it was found out wrong. But I think the gamers picked up on that and created a game out of that. Do you remember the name by chance?
There
John?
Was an offshoot of the Ultima series called Worlds of Ultima, and there was
yes.
one called Martian Dreams, where you travel to Mars and along with I think some other scientific luminaries of the day.
Right. Oh, man, I remember playing that. I can't believe I remember it.
Yeah, it was actually a really memorable game as well for me.
Yeah.
Kind of similar. The Martians were plant-based beings, and they'd obviously gotten wiped out, and you were basically wandering around trying to figure out what happened to them, I think.
Yeah.
But no, that was a good offshoot of the... that whole Ultima series, I think.
So they're making a movie out of his adaptation, or?
Yeah, of the original comics, I think. Was it a comic or a novel? I'm not
Novels
sure.
And also some early comics, I think.
Okay. Yeah, so and it's quite a big budget thing for a Disney film. The trailers are good, actually. They make it look fun. It's just,
Who's
a
the
boss.
Who's the main actor?
I don't know of his name. I can't.
Okay, so it's somebody that's
I think
not,
he's someone relatively unknown, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll definitely look into that trailer because, I love science fiction and fantasy, so definitely something I'll check out.
Taylor Kitsch, Wikipedia says.
Ah, okay. Mm. Doesn't ring a bell. I think a lot of people are saying it's going to be compared to Avatar, but Avatar borrows a lot of its themes and motifs from Edgar Rice Burroughs, one of those cart before the horse things. Is that the right analogy? Is that the right expression? I don't know.
Chicken and egg.
Moving swiftly along. Yeah, chicken and egg. Thank you. Actually, I was just looking through that Den of Geek article that I sent along, the 10 potentially great sci-fi movies coming next year, and Lockout, the Luc Besson film, actually looks interesting. Got Guy Pearce in the role as kind of a pseudo anti-hero, sounds like. Lasonic cigarette-smoking hero, they're saying. Tasked to rescue the president's daughter. Obviously very Escape from New York, a lot of similarities to Escape from New York. God, I wish I could speak. Anyway, no thoughts on that, I guess.
I'm looking at Total Recall. Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah, Total Recall remake.
That's interesting. Although I'm not sure how excited I am about it because I'm afraid they might ruin it like the last one.
Did you ever read the? Sorry.
Actually, I read it way before anybody even. I read it years before the movie.
Right.
And Pierce Anthony was one of the few authors that I discovered and liked. And I read his stories are very unique. He throws it out there.
Sorry, it was written by Philip K. Dick, though.
Mm-hmm.
We Can Remember It For You Wholesale is the original title. I think you might be thinking of a different book.
Total Recall?
Yeah. Was based on We Can Remember It For You Wholesale by Philip K. Dick.
Because I recall...
It's got his prints all over it, you know.
It is, yeah.
Dealing with sort of different realities and... So, Piers Anthony, what is the book that you read then?
Okay,
are you talking about... I think of him as a fantasy, like, writer.
No, he writes science fiction as well. Are you talking about the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie on Mars?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I recall reading it, and it was by Piers Anthony.
Maybe and he did the film, like, script to novel adaptation.
It might be the screenplay, but that's what surprised me, because Piers Anthony's name is nowhere close to mentioning when that movie came out. And I was like, this is the book I read by Piers Anthony. Why is it not even, like, advertised? But... That's how far I've known the series or the book, and to see it go to go into a movie, it was an exciting thing because I knew about it. But at the same time, the movie wasn't that great. It missed out on a lot of concepts that Piers Anthony introduced. And like I said, he goes out there regarding ideas. He writes fantasy and science fiction.
Okay,
and some of those. Go ahead.
According to Wikipedia, I've discovered what's going on here. Obviously, the film was based on the Philip K. Dick story. We can remember it for you wholesale. And then novelized by Piers Anthony afterwards. But he was working from an earlier version of the script.
That's why it's...
Subtly different, yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it says further along under adaptations.
Indeed.
Okay.
Wikipedia, so we don't know how accurate it is and everything, but yes, clearly that's obviously where the confusion arises.
Okay. Well, I like the book better than the movie. That's all I can say, because they've explained a lot more in detail why the aliens did what they did, and that was one of the, drawing aspects that I like to see that, made the book worth it. And when I didn't see it in the movie, I was like, this is all crap. It's all basically, action oriented and nothing else. Basically, from what I remember, the whole premise of why the aliens did create a system to make Mars habitable was to test the human race, basically, to see if they're able to evolve enough to take advantage of what they've been giving. And, and that's what you played out is, the elements of man working against that worthiness to accept this technology and, move forward, but join the galactic, group or something like that. But yeah, that was totally skipped over with the movie. It's just basically, hey, this device is here. I push it and we get water and boom, that's it. Nothing else.
I think for me, to look for a source material for that, it's actually a lot closer to look at what Dick wrote rather than a script to novel adaptation, personally. Mm. But I've not read the original short story. Have you? Or it's a novelette, according to the wiki. Have you read it, Will?
I'm afraid not, no. It's one of the ones that I haven't got around to.
Yeah, me too. I don't know, for some reason. I mean, I've kind of rediscovered Dick lately.
okay.
As you do, as everyone.
Speaking of Minecraft.
But no, I don't even know where to go from that. Philip K. Dick has... I think that's it. Now I finally understand he's played a joke on all of humanity just purely in his name.
The joke was sort of writing all these things which apparently were brilliant ways, brilliantly ripe for being turned into films that mostly aren't great. There's a few very good ones and then some other ones.
So it originally originated from this this author, then. I have to look him up.
Well, he's the guy who originally wrote Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, which is more widely known as Blade Runner.
I see.
which is the only reason I kind of know who he is, or one of the main reasons. And then I've discovered, you know, since then that there's been lots of film adaptations, hasn't there?
Large numbers.
Yeah. Too many Billy Idols.
He had some very interesting ideas about sort of the future, I suppose. But they work quite well as sort of complicated novels, which not everything is clear-cut in, but with interesting ideas. And it tends to work quite well if you sort of take the interesting ideas and then turn it into another film that doesn't really have a lot to do with what actually happens in the novels, because his plotting wasn't very strong.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it was a little bit incoherent, wasn't it? I find that to be the case of... Sorry.
No, I was going to say, I mean, it's sort of... He was always very ambiguous about what was sort of fiction, what was reality, fantasy, you know. And that makes it tricky to... You know, it's tricky to do that in a film, because of all these things where people's memories are altered and or whatever. It's very hard to do that in the film.
Yeah, it is.
And have it proceed coherently.
That's true. And I think even in the novels, like in some of his writing, it's... I just seem to be rambling tonight. I respect him quite a lot as an author, just for purely for some of his ideas and being able to see, just focusing on the idea of appearance versus reality, and exploring that, you know, in lots of interesting ways. But because I think The Matrix owes a lot. I don't know if the Wachowskis were influenced by Philip K. Dick at all, but
I'm sure they were. They must have been.
I imagine The Matrix wouldn't exist if it weren't for his novels and film adaptations. So.
No, absolutely.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting to see what they do with the remake with Colin Farrell. I've heard that he's not going to Mars, which, according to the wiki, was in the original novelette. So I don't know. They're obviously going to play with the whole appearance versus reality thing, I imagine, is, you know, much like the first did.
So what's the basis? Because the whole original Total Recall is about Mars,
right?
So I don't know how they're going to pull that off and call it Total Recall.
Well, they're obviously trying to do something different, but yeah, I don't think there's been a lot of details. They're trying to keep things under wraps, so...
Right. Well, the special effects should be more awesome now than they were back then, so I'm interested to see how they pull that off.
I think the special effects in Total Recall are a bit of a guilty pleasure. They're just so silly and over the top that it's quite entertaining.
That's a Verhoeven thing.
Indeed, it is, yeah. It's a signature.
Okay. Well, any like TV stuff that you guys want to talk about? Will, I know you mentioned The Black Mirror.
Yeah, it's probably got no play at all in America. But it's written by Charlie Brooker, who is mostly a TV critic. He's a big sort of computer gamer as well, and he does a lot of other bits and pieces. He's a journalist, and writes mostly for The Guardian. But anyway, on Channel 4, they basically gave him, you know, money and things to make a three-part miniseries, I guess, called Black Mirror. And the first one was on a couple of weeks ago, and it was all right. The second one was on, a few days ago, and was brilliant, I thought. So I'm really looking forward to the third one, which is coming up.
And that sounds interesting.
It's called The Black Mirror, or it's called Black Mirror because it's about our sort of obsession with gadgets, I presume.
Yeah, I think it's sort of meant to sort of resemble an iPad or something when it's off, you know? You can look into it and it sort of reflects you, while simultaneously being, you know, this route to a whole other world and things. So I guess, like, an Alice in Wonderland type metaphor, as well as being a mirror of society, but kind of dark because it's all really satirical and very dark. Right. I mean, the darkest piece of television I've seen in since the Brass Eye special on paedophilia, I think.
I was going to say I like dark stuff, but I don't know now that you mentioned that. But
have you seen Brass Eye?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not.
But yeah, I've been reading on the premise on that, and it sounds like another, from the board, outline of it, it's just your stereotypical haunted house type of thing. But I'm interested to see how the details are now that you mentioned that it's really good. So I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just sort of the ideas, but also the acting, which surprised me. The first one was a bit flat, but the second one, it has... I'm trying to think what her name is. She's in Downton Abbey. Plays one of the daughters. I'm actually going to have to look it up, I think.
Yeah, sorry, I can't help you there.
What about the Sherlock Holmes, the remake of Sherlock Holmes? Are you guys ever going to continue that? Or
what, us, personally? I mean, try.
I'm looking at, British.
Will, you'd make a good... You'd make a good Holmes.
A good Holmes. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Would you do your own, or would you be a Benedict Cumberbatch impression?
I don't know. You see, I think that you have to really do your own. Like Bond, you can't like be Bond but do Bond as Sean Connery or something. That's just stupid. You'd have to be.
It's amusing, though.
What's the
Especially
point?
It's I mean, a bad
presumably
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery has done it as well as he can, right?
I think Sean Connery is parodying himself now.
Right, yeah. Sean Connery as... You could do an impression of Sean Connery as Sherlock Holmes. That'd be good.
Woody Allen as Sean Connery.
As Sherlock Holmes.
As Sherlock Holmes. Now that would be a show.
So, as the Green Knight.
So did you find the name of this young lass? I don't know. I didn't realise it was an actual
Jessica
drama.
Yes, Jessica Brown-Findlay.
Jessica Brown Finley. Okay.
Yes.
Is it a drama? And, so it's an actual sort of story. It's not sort of a, your iPhone is made by first, it's conceived in California and then...
No, it's sort of like the Twilight Zone or something, I guess.
Okay. There's some, I don't know, just kind of on a ram, going as in a quick aside... There's some really unusual concept for shows in Britain, I have to say, from an outsider's perspective. Because, like, the royal family is just something that I think if you lived outside of the UK, you just wouldn't get. And that includes me, I suppose, even though I live here. It's basically people... of a certain... Well, people just sort of sitting around watching television, and there's a camera pointed at them, not the television, and it's just their sort of... I don't know if you've ever seen it, Will. I'm not sure you're in the demographic for that show, but I just... When I first heard about it, I was like, that's a really weird concept for a show, but it's not really reality television, but it kind
of... Sorry, I missed the name of this. What was this?
The Royal Family?
Oh, The Royal Family. It's a sitcom, isn't it?
Is it?
It is, basically.
I probably shouldn't have brought it up once again. Not knowing enough about it, but...
It does sound reality TV over here, too, and there's plenty over here in the States as well as anywhere else, I guess.
But it's not reality television. It's actually scripted. It's a scripted program. Isn't it? I mean...
Yeah, it's a sitcom. I mean, it's a bit of a weird sitcom, but it's definitely a sitcom.
Anyway.
Well, I'm just curious, do you guys have Spartacus over there?
I think it was there. Almost nearly every American television show makes it over here on some way.
Okay. Well, the season two is coming up, and I saw the promo for the first scenes for the beginning of season two, and it's interesting. I'm a fan of the first season one, so I'm not sure if you guys have it over there or not.
I really liked Rome, the HBO, BBC.
Yes, Rome is extremely good.
I watched that too.
I really enjoyed it, and then when I saw Spartacus being advertised, I thought, well, that looks, you know, that could be interesting. And for some reason, I just never got around to watching it. I heard it was fairly, probably shared a few things in common with Rome in terms of, you know,
risque.
Yeah. Perceived, but although I think they more went for it in Spartacus, where it was just like it was more of a feature rather than this is probably how people lived, you know, or this is a slightly exaggerated version of what we think Roman life might have been like. I heard the guy, one of the main actors, he died of cancer, or he had.
Yeah, tragic news. He was one. If anything, that was part of the reason why I like the series is because of his charisma and just the way he carried the character. But it's an unfortunate thing. I don't know how the new actor will fare with the second season, but I don't know if I'll have the same enthusiasm as I would if the original actor did it.
Is he supposed to be the same guy? Or because I noticed it's got a different subtitle now. It's not Blood and Sand. It's Spartacus.
Oh, no. They,
arena or something.
They have different subtitles every
different
season.
Character. Oh, I see. Every season.
Every season. So they had a different character because they made a go-between while the actor was in chemo. So they had to they created like four or five more episodes just to fill in the gap as he recovers. But, you know, as we all know now, he didn't recover. So now they're just moving forward with the new actor. And, yeah, every season it's subtitled differently. So
is it...
That sounds fun.
Similar to Rome at all, or is it...
It's definitely not similar to Rome in that... it's more arcadic, meaning like if you want to compare it, you know, Rome is like a simulation where Spartacus is like an arcade.
Right.
They have their own appeals.
I don't know how well you know your Roman history, but would you say that it was as historically accurate as Rome was?
Yes, but...
Well, that's good.
Accurate in that the way they dress and the, you know, the you know, the free nature that they had back then.
Yeah.
But
you mean people getting naked is what you mean.
Naked and just abusing the slaves and whatnot. One of the things you'll hear from if you coinciding with Spartacus is high nudity and explicit material. But I mean, that's Roman times right there. They were just pretty much drunk with power, you know.
And going back to your original analogy of arcade versus simulation, you know what I want, right?
Mega Maid? No. I'm not sure.
No, I want the driving simulation. Rome, the driving simulation.
So you're there in your chariot. Going around and around the Circus Maximus.
Yeah. I mean, you don't really have to use... Like, you could just use a controller that just turns left, right? Or but left.
Even better, Gran Turismo Rome, where you, like, jack other chariots. And
seriously, I think we're onto something here. No, I'm being serious.
Really? I was going to put it, you know, mention Woody Allen somewhere, but if you're serious, then...
Although, they kind of did that with Assassin's Creed, though, didn't they?
It was much later. Much, much, much later.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Even the early one was much later.
Yeah, you can do, like...
Although, yeah, absolutely this. Right. You
messed about in Rome and stuff.
This is, yeah, GT Ancient Rome.
Right.
Grand Theft Rome.
I like that. It's clever.
Or, actually... Just find some Latin letters that start with a G and a T. You know, Latin words, sorry, that start with a G and a T. And that is a concept.
it's a concept that we have now put out there in the public domain, so basically anyone that wants to take it can and not give us anything, though, right?
Well, I'd rather have it exist.
I mean, we own it. We
don't own something that doesn't, you know.
All content in the Geek Word of Mouth podcast is copyright us three.
Have you guys ever played a game called Mountain Blade?
It's called CYA. Mountain what? Sorry.
Mountain Blade.
Yeah, Mountain Blade.
Mountain Blade, yes. I've not played it. I know of it.
Yeah, I know of it, I'll say.
Yeah, it's it might be incorporated in your idea right there, because it's actually something like that, where you free roaming and you just start building up your army. And the fighting engine is pretty unique. And really good and realistic as well. So maybe if, you know, some big company can purchase this company and incorporate that into Rome, I think it'll work.
So that's it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's
Mountain Blade. Well, going back to the TV series, if you guys want to discuss further on that, but Game of Thrones...
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, April.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And speaking of Game of Thrones, the Game of Thrones board game.
I rather not. Well, I don't know about the game itself, but
8 hours. 8 hours of backstabbing and.
That sounds amazing. Is it? Because I know they released
Fantasy Flight.
There's been a Fantasy Flight board game that's sort of a bit like Risk for a while, and I know they released a second edition of that recently, but this is another board game also based on the property, right?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's brilliant, because the other one they made is wonderful. And, I mean, long have I said that, you know, I wish I could sit and play this for 8 hours instead of four. No, I'm not sure I said that.
You were thinking it, and they heard you.
I need to stop having those awkward thoughts that FFG turn into games.
I always have a bad rep with the...
Pretty soon we'll have Penis the role-playing game.
Exactly. It'll be like reverse Jenga. Building it up like in Minecraft.
Reverse Jenga. Well, you have to build it up at the beginning of Jenga, don't you?
Yeah, normally there's sort of a thing in the box that it sort of slots into.
Oh. I don't know where to go with this. Help me, guys. So
what's the new Game of Thrones board game like, John?
I don't know. I haven't played it. I just heard it takes 8 hours to play. I thought it might be worth mentioning.
I'm not a fan of the Game of Thrones board games, even though I've never played it.
Have you played the CCG?
No, I haven't played them. I'm not a fan because there's a huge... angry fan base because it takes time George Martin time away from writing his books. So whenever we hear or I hear that he's working on a board game with some person, that, you know, there's a uproar on why he's not working on the book in the next series before, you know, and working on that instead. But
that's ridiculous, because I mean, it's obvious that he basically eats, lives and breathes Game of Thrones. I don't really understand.
Well, you know, it would be understandable if the next series was delayed for 2-3 years, but the next series was delayed like 15 years. So
you mean Dance of Dragons?
Yes. Maybe not 15 years, but something huge.
It was a while, yeah.
Like that. So, you know, enough patience, after a while you just realize, hey, why is he going to conventions and talking about his old books, or like doing these new games and working on TV series, where it took him so long to finish the series for us. I mean, it's wrong to be angry at George Martin. I totally get that. But at the same time, it's like 15 years. That's a long time for our next book, you know. So that's my stigma against board games.
That's the gap between the first one and the last one, isn't it? The first one was 96, I think.
The first one and the second one wasn't that long. It was just...
First one and the one that's just come out, the it's like book 5, but I mean, they've put some into halves and things.
The Dances with Dragons is the next one. But
that's the latest. That one just came out.
That came out, yeah, right, in July.
Right, right. That's the one that's the one that we're waiting for the longest time.
Yeah.
So it's understandable if it's 2-3 years, but you know the gap is 15 years.
Game? Sorry, what does that have to do with the board game?
Well, the angry
anytime he's not spending writing like a robot.
Oh, I see. Sorry,
he's basically dissing the fans.
He says that it takes so long because he's trying to plot these things sensibly.
But the thing is such an
intricate. You know,
I'm not one of the angry fan base, but the reasonings, I assume their mind, the connecting factor of why they're angry at him for concentrating on things like this is because he mentioned before that the book was almost finished like 10 years ago. And then he keep on delaying it. And on his website, which I, you know, check once in a while, he says, you know what? It's been pushed back so much. I won't even bother telling you, you know, the status of the book anymore. So he ended that because people are expecting it to come out the next year and it doesn't. And, you know, 5 years later, it's like, what are you doing?
It's one of those things where people sort of feel like they, you know, they deserve a novel from someone writing things.
No, that I totally understand that mentality.
It's a weird privileged attitude that probably isn't very helpful.
I'm not one of those, but I can
understand why people are like, you know, I'm really into it. I just can't wait for more. And, you know, if you'd been told it would be, you know, summer next year, you'd be going up for that. And then suddenly it's autumn next year, you know. I mean, but it happens everywhere. You know, films, books, games particularly.
It's just a testament on how powerful his story is.
Episode 3 and everything.
Yeah. So, well, that's, you know, that's the extreme right. You know, right wing fan base that's putting their reasons out there in the forums. That's what I heard. So,
well, just in the interest of disseminating the right information, apparently it is just the second edition of the original board game. So,
Okay. What? Why is it 8 hours all of a sudden? That's weird.
I think it.
I mean, there's a 10-term limit built hard coded into the game. Weird.
Maybe it just took these guys 8 hours to play because they were just, it was the first time and they're working out the rules. I don't
that is plausible, actually.
Yeah,
I mean, I would put aside at least 3 hours for explaining the rules to new players, particularly with, because it comes packaged with the first two expansions as well, and they have siege engines and a whole bunch of stuff I've just never touched because it all seems really complicated.
But you'd recommend it anyway?
Oh, it's a great game. Absolutely.
I'm just curious, did you guys read the series?
I read the first one, and I got fed up. It is long. It is very long, and it's all right, but it's not very good. I mean, I was impressed, actually, that I think the television show did a better job of writing.
Did you pick up the book because of the TV series, or did you just...
No, I read it about 7 years ago. No, 6 years ago.
I would recommend it to, you know, give it a chance again because it gets really good on the second and third book. And, you know, in the first book, you got your, just like the first two episodes of the Game of Thrones, it's the introduction of characters. And once that happens, then, you know, the engine starts kicking in and then...
The thing is, though, you shouldn't take 600 pages just to introduce characters. I mean, you need to have a coherent narrative in that time rather than sort of the beginning of something, which is mostly what you get.
I
rag on the Harry Potter series, but at least the first book, you know, manages to introduce all the main characters, have a reasonably, you know, compelling plot, certainly if you're a small child, and set things up for the next book reasonably well.
Yeah. Well, I think the patience, I gave it patience because I knew at the end, I get the sense that there's good things coming. So that's why I continue on. But I can see what you mean. There's a huge world in there that needs explaining. And sometimes maybe that is mired in explaining things.
Yeah, there's a bit of that, and it's the fact that I actually don't find his writing that compelling. It's quite slow. It's, I mean, yeah, okay, we've talked about why slightly, but it's a bit turgid is a word I would use. It doesn't have enough momentum to it, I guess. Anyway, that's just a personal feeling. My girlfriend devoured the first five books over the course of 3 or 4 months. So, you know, I totally understand that there are people out there that love them, and
yeah,
that's fine, you know.
Yeah, to each his own. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Have you read it, John?
No, I haven't. I'm an uncouth... I don't read anymore. I don't know. I just seem to buy stuff on and put it on my sort of Kindle app and just never actually look at it.
Or at least...
I know what you mean slightly. I have...
I seem to be a collector. Sorry.
Yeah. Now, a friend of mine once said something which I quite like. He said, I have that disease where when I buy a book, I think I'm also somehow buying the time to read it. And, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not really the case.
It doesn't work that way, yeah.
No.
If things exactly. comes to worse, you can always try the audiobook.
That's true.
I usually, after I read the book, I listen to the audio. You know, before I go to bed, I just put it on and,
The same as reading, though? I mean, I know lots of proponents say that it is, but...
You do miss out on the creation of your own imagination. Yes, you do, because you're pretty much going off of the narrator or whoever's reading it. But at the same time, you would rather have something than not to experience it at all, you know.
Well, slightly random, but on the note of the Game of Thrones audiobook, it holds a world record for the most different voice actors used in a single audiobook. There you are.
Really?
Because of the vast, vast array of characters.
Yeah.
But does every audiobook do that? They have different characters for... They are different voice actors for each character, or...?
As far as Game of Thrones, it's... for each book, there's a different person, but not necessarily two or three person in a book narrating it. Does that make sense? Basically, well, Game of Thrones, they have one guy...
Sorry, I'm thick. What?
No, it's okay. In Game of Thrones, they have one guy doing the whole book, right, using different voices, but it's still him. In the second book, there's a different person doing all the voices and reading and whatnot. I think that's what Will meant.
Really? Oh, okay.
Not necessarily like four or five people.
Sorry? I didn't really follow Hen's explanation either.
Hen's basically saying that it's just one person reading the book, but they're just doing lots of different
voices. Oh, okay. There's probably more than one audiobook version out there.
Yeah.
But the one that I'd heard about has, as I say, held this record for having vast numbers of different voice actors.
Oh. I should try, because in theory you're still conjuring... It's still your own imagination that you're conjuring an image of what's going on. It's just you're not physically reading the words off the page. You're being read to, essentially.
Right. If you don't have time to read the book, I recommend at least do the audio. And, you know, having done both, when I read the book, there's a certain, you know, image or thing you imagine that the character would sound like.
And when you hear
when you hear the voice actor doing it, it kind of contradicts sometimes. But, you know, you adapt to that and you move on with the story.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, like I said, you'd rather experience something than nothing at all if you don't read the book.
One last question before we sign off, because I think we're close to an hour now. So when you are reading sort of to yourself, you know, inside your mind, my words are completely failing me, but sort of your inner monologue, when you're reading your inner voice, what do you think it sounds like, or does it sound like anything? Or is that one of those weird questions that has perplexed man since the beginning of literacy.
Do
you think it sounds like your own voice, or?
It's not a weird question at all. I haven't had a lot of thought in it, but right now I believe I hear my own voice. Yes.
I think I don't hear anything when I read things. I just sort of take in the information of whatever it is the words are saying without hearing anything.
Yeah. I think it's mostly based on our collection of what we gather from other media sources. Like, you know, a typical boy, you hear that from movies and whatnot. And when I read in a book, without any other description, if they put a boy in there, then I have that, you know, voice of that boy in my head playing through the book. But it depends on, you know, the different medias that we were exposed to. I assume that's how it works. Does that make sense?
I think I understand you. So if you... if you saw the film version of Dune, the David Lynch mm-hmm. version, and you kind of picture those characters...
Right.
In, yeah.
But and then you read the book?
Yeah. If you've just sort of picked up a book at random and there's no film adaptation and you start reading it.
Right.
Will's saying basically that you don't have a voice as you're reading it. But I don't know. I seem to... maybe it's just me.
Well,
not necessarily for when the characters are speaking, but when you're actually reading. Maybe it's just me because I'm mouthing the words as I'm reading. No, I'm not. That was a lame attempt at a joke. But, I tend to think that there is... I don't know. I'm just sad that I brought it up now.
Not necessarily the narrative. Maybe the narrative is you thinking yourself talking. But if you read other characters, you know, talking, I would imagine... myself incorporating the voices that I've heard from other media sources into that character. And it's really quick, you know, your mind is doing that, but that's my take on it. I do have that, so.
Well, that's why a lot of people don't like to see the film before they've read the book.
All right.
So that it doesn't influence their imagination.
Yeah, but it doesn't...
Yeah,
it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, it has to be the same medium. It could be a boy from another different totally media that you heard, or even, you know, your nephews or nieces that you've heard, and that you incorporate that into interpreting the book. I don't know if I'm coming through clear, but that's my...
Not at all, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You've lost me. I think
basically,
I know what you
all
mean.
All your ideas in your head came from somewhere. All the, you know, it didn't. You just didn't create it out of the blue. It's connected to different types of learnings and things you gathered through communication.
Sure. So you have some of your experiences, right?
Right. So when you read a book, you're bringing up those same type things that are similar. Like, you know, when I mentioned boy. Different things comes up to your head, like voices of different different boys. So when you read that in a book, your mind somehow recollects what a boy sounds like, and then you interpret that through your head in your mind. And it's really a flash. And some, you know, it doesn't work like that all the time. It's just one of the things that can happen when you read a book to have a character that you need to pull out. You basically pull something that's already there. That you've gathered. All right. Okay, maybe I'm not making any sense anymore.
What I was trying to say is, like, in the absence of that, what is there? But I think we'll put it pretty succinctly. You're just sort of interpreting the words, and there isn't. It's not like you're being read to. You're reading. So, and there's no way to sort of define that. But anyway, I don't know. Beyond the fact that you're. Sort of taking in the information.
It's a complicated discussion, I think, involving like linguistic theory and stuff, like how a bunch of words in a certain order is grammatical and means something, and a bunch of words, the same words in a different order, is not grammatical and doesn't mean anything.
What?
where you can say...
No, I'm just kidding.
The cat is in the tree, and you can have an image of a cat in a tree, and that will make sense. The tree is in the cat. The same means words, different order, means something completely different.
Something
There's
else.
A tree inside a cat. Cat in tree is the... You know...
Right, but Woody Allen... Back Woody Allen in the tree. But the tree is not in Woody Allen.
No, I'm right, just saying that...
You can take the kid out of Brooklyn, but you can't...
Of course, yes.
I don't know. No, I understand. I just... it was just one of those really random things that occurred to me. Is there a voice that you hear inside your head as you read? But I don't know, maybe that's just for simpletons like me. I just tend to think that there is. I just can't identify it. Sort of like trying to remember whether you dream in color or black and white. I'm not really sure. I'm not sure that I'm actually that cognizant of color, things like colors or concepts like colors. You're just sort of focused on whatever weird thing is happening.
That's interesting.
I don't
know. I can't really dream in colour. Not that I dream very often, actually. Or at least if I'm dreaming, I don't remember it. Yeah.
Well, anyway, sorry, I probably should trim some of that down, so...
we got sidetracked at the end again.
Yeah, sorry. I'll try to keep us on task the next time.
No, it was good. I think we went down the list pretty well this time. I think it was all good.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks again for your time, and thanks for chiming in.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, John, and thank you for all the time you're going to spend editing it. Appreciate it.
No worries.
Okay.
I don't know why I said that like that.
Let's try
that again. I'll do my best with it. So.
That's a very sensible voice.
Thank you. It's not like my NPC voice, though.
Yes.
Hello. I think I should really try to do very unusual voices. And I always say to myself...
We can do a podcast series like that.
Right.
Oh, what, for the podcast?
That could be our thing.
Yeah, we could. I think we should do voices and accents.
And what, alternate them through, I don't know, one podcast, we all doing a Scottish accent or something, and then...
Yeah. You know, that would be a very interesting podcast. Maybe we should actually do it.
I will have no idea what either of you are saying in all likelihood.
I think he will, but it will be painful for anyone to listen to. Even for ourselves, I think. No.
I mean, my voice sounds weird enough when I listen to it, you know. I don't need that and a Scottish accent on top of it.
Maybe that's why you don't hear your own voice when you're reading it. It just freaks you out too much. So you just
Possibly. You just
ignore that and just focus on the words.
Right.
Anyway, sorry. I don't know.
Should we do a quick
yes.
sign off? You know.
And how should that go?
I don't know. Something like Happy Christmas.
Oh yes, yeah. Oh, sorry, this was the Christmas episode.
Yeah, we didn't mention it at all, but you know, it's in there.
Yeah, well, it's in there now. So. So, yeah, happy Christmas, everyone, for all of you millions of people that might be listening to this. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you in 2012.
Okay, thanks very much. Bye-bye.
God bless us all.
Don't give my brother a sneeze, I'll send out. Don't give my sister a call.